Speak up.
You're listening to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We're the campus and community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territories. Good morning. Hello. It's me, Jesse. Welcome back from the long weekend. Hope you had a nice time. Whatever you did, I just stayed at home. Well, not the entire time, of course, the full 72 hours, but I didn't go and do anything all that exciting. Did buy a new kitchen table / bar table and some stools for my apartment, so that's fun. And my favorite hockey team choked and lost in the most embarrassing fashion possible, so same as it ever was over here. Hope you're doing better than that. Don't worry, I didn't mope all weekend. I did manage to, you know, read some books, played some video games, played around with a synthesizer and my bass guitar. So, all in all, pretty good weekend. Hope you can say the same. This is Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. Before I get any further into the show, I do want to acknowledge that this program and all of CJSF's in-house programs are produced and broadcast from the unceded ancestral territory of the Hunkaminam and Squamish-speaking peoples, who have been here gathering, talking to each other, listening to each other since time immemorial, since a time before memory, since longer than anyone has any contiguous memory of. And I'm very honored and grateful that we get to continue to gather and talk to and listen to each other here in this beautiful, beautiful place. Okay, what next? Well, I guess I should run down what's going on in the show today. We have a whole bunch of different bits and bobs, little pieces. Well, I mean, some of them are almost 15 minutes long, some of them are a couple from around the province, including right here at CJSF. And also some local music. So I guess let's just get into it. We're going to go back to La Lune, the moon, who I believe it was last Tuesday, I declared that theirs was the new record with which I am obsessed and going to begin every possible episode of Speak Up until I'm no longer obsessed. And it was last week, because this record came out on May 8th, and we've only had one Tuesday Speak Up since then, and it was last week. Their new record is called Everything is an Eternal Circle, and it repeats and repeats itself. They rule. They're playing a show on May 23rd. Oh my goodness, that's Friday at Green Auto, which will be great. I guess I should buy a ticket, because I want to go to that, and I would not be surprised if it sold out. Anyway, La Lune at Green Auto. Right now, La Lune with the closer from their new record, Everything is an Eternal Circle, and it repeats and repeats itself. This is called The Ache. We'll be right back.
You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, SFU's community radio station broadcasting live from Burnaby, BC.
This is a CHLY and CVOX news update.
When you're cutting broom, it's important to get right down to the base of it. And so they're down to a single stem, and then cut it off with loppers. This one's in the grass, so I have to dig around to get to the bottom.
Broombusters are on a mission to clear Vancouver Island of the invasive plant Scotch broom. Bev Ager is the coordinator of the Comox Valley branch and has been part of this volunteer effort for 15 years.
Scotch broom is a very invasive plant. It's not native to Vancouver Island or even to Canada at all. It was brought here in the mid-1800s by a well-meaning Scot. And what you see all over the island started with three broom plants that were brought to some place near Souk. So there's no natural controls for it here. It takes over. It's very highly flammable because it has a very high oil content, so it's a fire risk. It chokes out native plants. It looks kind of pretty when the flower's in bloom, but after that it's scraggly and really shouldn't be here at all.
Ager says the plant can be easily spotted along roadways with its bright yellow flowers standing out.
If we cut plants when they're in bloom, most of the energy is in the flowers, so the plant is at its weakest, and we're going into the dry summer. And so the plant will die if we cut it right at ground level.
Ager explains that if cut above ground level, the plant reacts as though being pruned and sends out many more branches. For the roots to die, it must be cut right at the root, while in flower and before it goes to seed.
So there's about a 6-week window that we're busy cutting broom.
The group works with local municipalities to clear broom from public spaces like parks and trails. Volunteer broom busters gather to cut the plants at their roots, and the city, township, village, or regional district comes along to gather it up. Ager says that so far this year they have been cutting for 3 weeks and will keep going until the end of May. While she doesn't think the island will ever be fully free of the invasive plant, she does see success in the efforts made the past 15 years.
Some places where we've cut broom, there is no broom at all. So there are seeds that land in the ground, and the seeds can live for a long time. But broom needs sun to grow. So if there's other things growing, salal, good grass cover, shade from trees, the seeds won't germinate. So it's heartening for me to see places where we've cut broom and there is none, or where there's a lot less than there used to be. I could be overwhelmed by how much broom there is, but I know where there used to be broom and there isn't.
Ager says that one challenge the group faces in the endless annual battle against broom is the need for more hands on deck.
Some of our volunteers started with us 15 years ago, and they're not as physically able as they were. So we're always trying to get more volunteers to work with us. I think that would probably be our biggest challenge that we have. The more volunteers, the more we can cut.
Ager says that motivation for clearing broom could be social, as many people are allergic to the plant, or ecological, as it pushes out native species, or even safety-focused, as broom heightens risks of wildfires.
I think we should all care about our community, and we should try to make our community as safe as it can be and allow native plants to grow.
Anyone interested in joining the efforts, whether in the Comox Valley or other communities up and down the island, can find more information online.
If you go to the Broombusters website, which is broombusters.org, and click on the Comox Valley link, you can either contact me through the email that's listed there. It also lists all the places where we'll be cutting broom coming up. So you can look at that and come and join us.
This Saturday, May 17th, the group will be cutting broom at Nickay Park in Cumberland from 9:30 a.m. till noon.
And you don't have to come at the beginning, you don't have to stay the whole time, just any time in there.
When the community joins together to bust broom, Ager sees hope for the island ecosystem.
Will we ever get rid of all of it? No. But if we can get it out of our public areas, that would be great. And if people can take responsibility for broom on their own property, that's even better.
For CHLY and CVOX News, this is Heather Watson.
This report, in partnership with CVOX, was made possible with the support of the Local Journalism Initiative, the Community Radio Fund of Canada, and listeners like you. You can find more news updates, interviews, and stories from our nonprofit newsroom, as well as our news and current affairs program, Midcoast Morning, at chly.ca/news.
You're listening to CJSF 90.1 in Burnaby, British Columbia. phone. Gotta get to class fast, sitting on the train, compartmentalize my sadness on the sunniest of days. The world's in shambles, what's really new? I walk a thin line between hope and doom, dreaming underwater on a full moon, cause the silence so loud in every single room. It's hard to sleep at night, what a disturbing time. I'm feeling silly for existing in this life of mine. Sometimes I lose the plot, my mind all up in knots. The dissonance, I feel joy when sorrow never stops. Don't forget to pause, sun, even when I wanna hide away from everyone. Psychological warfare, trying to get me give up, but I won't give up my love, we won't give up.
On the cloudiest of days, I feel lost inside of all this.
Mornings I'm low mood, it's just something I go through. Some days it's tough to wake up. I don't take drugs, but I will make like 8 cups of strong coffee and still won't feel a faint buzz. A lot I'm carrying, a lot on my hands. A lot of people and problems and plans. Prayed on and God saying, now talk to your fam. Express thanks for your breath and acknowledge the land. Remember those who did not get a chance. The story's not over, the plot can advance. I feel the fresh air walking in Vans City. I'm walking in Vans. I take them off and I hop in the sands and handle biz with vision and purpose, mission and service. Embrace pain and celebrate the good. No mechanic, but we elevate the hood. Take a look, try to put things back the way it should.
On the cloudiest of days, I feel lost inside of all this pain.
Lost inside.
Sunniest of Days by Kim Ordal, featuring Shad and Frankie, off an upcoming release of the same title, Sunniest of Days, which comes out June 11th. Kim Ordal rules. Shad's great. Frankie's great. Check it out. It's on Bandcamp. You can pre-order it now. I'm Jesse. This is Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. Thanks to Heather Watson from out in Courtney for that report on Scotch Broom and the Broom Busters who are working to get rid of it. Boo invasive species. Yay volunteers. Up next, we're going to hear from our very own community journalist, Danny Nesvedarani. He has a report, an interview with Tristan Newby of the BC Nurses Union about their Ratios Save Lives campaign that was recorded last week during National Nursing Week. So we'll get to that right now.
Reporting from Burnaby, BC, this is Danny Nesvedarani, your community journalist for CJSF 90.1 FM, Burnaby. During this year's National Nursing Week, the British Columbia's Nurses Union, or BCNU, has been spreading the word on the Ratios Save Lives campaign. This campaign advocates for better nurse-to-patient ratios, improved working conditions, and higher nurse retention in BC. While the provincial government has put their support behind this campaign, there is still a shortage of nurses within the province. Recently, CJSF spoke with Tristan Newby, the vice president of the BCNU, on the work that the union says still needs to be done to attain the ideal nurse-to-patient ratio in BC, as well as how different levels of government can work together to attain this goal for the province. Please take a listen.
Ratio Saves Lives campaign is a public awareness as well as a member awareness campaign to really socialize the concept that minimum to nurse-patient ratios within the hospital setting and within healthcare more broadly, not only saves the lives of patients, but it also saves the system a considerable amount of money when you look at the what we're ending up paying out in overtime for private agencies. Once you have established minimum nurse-patient ratios, the likelihood of mortality and morbidity of patients decreases. And it is within jurisdictions that have rolled these out, I'm specifically calling out California, Oregon, New South Wales, you see an increased investment in nurses elongating their careers, having more satisfaction, and decreased incidences of violence within within healthcare settings.
Where is the progress on it right now? I know the province has put forward their support on this movement, but that was a few months ago now. So where do you think things are heading at the moment?
So back in March of 2024, as well as September of 2024, the provincial government announced what had been negotiated and agreed to. An example of that is if you are presented to a general medical ward within a hospital, you should see that your nurse has no more than four patients assigned to them. So that negotiation took about a year to get to. And then once we had the newly formed government, there is within the Minister of Health's mandate is to advance minimum nurse patient ratios. Where the lag is, so is within the operationalizing of it. So each of the health authorities have been provided, here is your mandate. You need to meet these ratios. And then the health authorities now have a period of time to be able to get to a point where they have these lines created and they have people posting into them. That is where we're finding that there's some delays. So it is an unrealistic expectation that right now that if I go into hospital, I will see, you know, a 1-to-4 ratio. But that is the intention over the course of, you know, the next year or so.
Yeah, I know this is not the only media that you've been doing this week. And one thing I've seen you talk about a lot has to do with focusing on retention, not just recruitment. If you could expand on that a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, there have been some efforts, you know, in the right direction, well-intentioned on the part of the government to be investing in recruitment. And you're seeing that with the announcement that came in 2 days ago. One area that we really have been advocating for strongly for years, both within the health authority and at the ministry level, is that we're in such a deficit of nurses in today's system. Like, we know that there's a minimum of 6,000 nurses that we're short within the province of British Columbia. And then when you factor in the additional workload that we're going to need for the full implementation of minimum nurse-patient ratios, you're looking at more like 10, right? And when you have a system that nurses, their five-year attrition rate is 50%, you know that there's something wrong with the system that doesn't support the people that are coming into it if half of them after a four-year education are choosing to leave within 5 years. And until health authorities and until the ministry has turned their mind to prioritizing the retention of those folks, there's no way that we're going to be able to recruit our way out of this this situation.
So one of the things that brought this campaign to my attention was that one of your lobby coordinators in the Simon Fraser region presented on the nurse to patient ratio movement at New Westminster City Council. And I'm wondering what your perspective is on what municipal governments throughout the Lower Mainland and throughout BC in general, what role they play in supporting.
Yeah, thanks. So Melissa and I work together. So I'm the provincial lobby coordinator within British Columbia, and the Simon Fraser region is actually my home turf. So the 2025, one of our main initiatives was conceptualizing the idea of ratios to folks. And we know that once our government has committed to their to their implementation. But along that process, we need to ensure that the general public as a whole has an understanding of what ratios are. And what's involved in establishing ratios goes far beyond, you know, the Minister of Health making some announcement about, look how great it is. You've got 1 to 3 here, 1 to 4 there. And there will also come a time where we need to turn our mind to how are we enforcing these ratios? And that, for that, we really need to ensure that we have an engaged and informed public, because this is about your health, your publicly provided health care. And if we need people to know that above the 1 to 4 ratio, people have a 12 to 16% chance of being injured or suffering some event in the hospital for every patient that a nurse has above the established ratios. And I think that the general public as of right now believes that these ratios are already in place, which isn't in fact the reality. Specifically to your question though, what we're looking at within the municipalities is that these folks are really the most closely aligned with their constituents, and they're making decisions about building communities. And what we're looking for is raising their awareness of the impact, the positive impact that ratios can have within a community, and how we can be finding opportunities to partner with each other to advance the building of these municipalities, communities, so that it attracts young healthcare professionals that are going to choose to plant their roots and raise their families here. And this is really has the potential to be a symbiotic relationship. And as far as advancing this, both from the nurses, the public, and from municipal level governments.
Mm-hmm. So what you're saying is having municipalities sort of prioritize making their communities more livable for people who potentially could be nurses serving those areas.
Absolutely. You know, a prime example would be looking at housing considerations for professionals. And we know that that's something that that is percolating within the municipalities. And there's opportunities certainly for nurses like Melissa, who's coming and speaking to New West. She's also been all over the Lower Mainland speaking to municipalities about what it is that nurses need to be able to succeed within communities, as well as where we can be contributing to your initiatives as well.
One last thing I would want to ask is if there's more on the public side that you think can be done to advocate for nurse-to-patient ratios.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, one easy call to action is to check out a website, ratiossavelives.ca. That really provides a foundational understanding of the concept of ratios, as well as where we are right now in that implementation phase. But what I can most call to the public is that, as I said, this is your right as a British Columbian, as well as a Canadian, is to have comprehensive, publicly funded healthcare. And the government ran on a platform that this is what we're going to do for Canadians. We're going to provide the best healthcare, the best ratios for you. And we need for you to be holding those promises accountable by reaching out to the MLAs, saying, hey, where are we with ratios? This is a priority to me, as well as, you know, engaging in conversations with nurses about, hey, what is going on with ratios? Because we're happy to be having those conversations. And ultimately, you know, creating opportunities for advancing ratios. And there may be a time when the nurses will call on the public to say, hey, these obligations are not being met. Will you stand with us in support? And my hope is at that point, people will be educated enough about the ratio initiative and invested enough that they will be out supporting nurses. This isn't simply about ensuring nurses are, you know, in an environment that they can provide the care that patients deserve. It's also about addressing safety, because right now, There has never been a time in the healthcare system where so frequently nurses are being exposed to violence. And we know from research in other jurisdictions that with the implementation of minimum respiration ratios and effective retention strategies, that workplace violence is decreased. And as a part of that, we need to ensure that employers are putting in place effective mitigation strategies so that folks aren't having to respond to these situations. They are proactively being prevented. And if you can't, with a reasonably level of confidence, ensure that a nurse is going to go to work and they're not going to be exposed to extreme violence, it's going to be extremely difficult for us to be able to retain the nurses that we have and certainly recruit new ones.
Once again, that was our conversation with Tristan Newby, the vice president of the BC Nurses Union, on the Ratios Save Lives campaign. This has been Danny Nesvedarani, your community journalist for CJSF 90.1 FM, Burnaby. This segment would not have been possible without the continued support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada's Local Journalism Initiative. You can also find this piece on frequencynews.ca.
You are listening to CJSF 90.1 FM.
Broadcasting from Burnaby Mountain, British Columbia.